Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
Our very first guest in the history of Wilde and Tausch, which will be, I'm sure, a long and distinguished history.
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
Aaron Rodgers, give us an over-under on what number would you set for how many shows we do.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio at ESPN Madison.
I'm going to say they leave 52 weeks in a year. I'm going to say you do about 230.
And celebrating 10 great years on ESPN Wisconsin.
And then what happens?
No, then Tausch kind of bows out.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Tuesday edition, the live from the bog in Saukville for the ESPN Milwaukee Delzer Open. Jesse, you playing today?
I'm not. You playing today? That's the real question.
I think we know the answer.
We're not doing a one-hole deal, huh?
He wanted you to do it.
I know what he wanted. It's great to see him, though. Edition. I'm Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need on the ESPN Wisconsin app, which is A, free, B, customizable, and C, can be found both in the Apple and Android app stores. I'm Jason Wilde, normally in Green Bay, but not today, as we are at the beautiful, and it's going to be hot out there.
You shave your ankles?
I don't know. Oh, boy. Just hair doesn't grow there.
On your ankle? Yeah, nothing? That's like, it looks like back
in
the day.
More my shin area.
That's back in the day when I used to get my ankles taped, they'd shave your ankles. You look like you're getting ready to go play a 9-on-7 or something.
I don't think I would fare well on a 9-on-7.
Got them big old thick calves, doesn't
he? I don't know. Maybe it's from as Larry McCarron once famously said to me in the locker room, Jason, were you a catcher? Like, yeah. How'd you know that, Larry?
Because you're stocky.
Well, I think it was maybe, A, I look like the kid from the Sandlot, and B, the calves. I think
you get big old thick calves on you. Very white.
I'm Jason Wilde, normally in Green Bay and wishing I was there now.
Hey, this is it for you for a while, so you're going to probably take a little bit today.
The best part is, then you're departing return.
And I think that's probably going to be healthy.
I think that's
for
the
everybody.
Best for everybody.
I was checking the calendar. Today is the last show all three of us are scheduled as of now to be live together on the air until after family night.
Yeah, I can believe that.
That's a long time from now.
I think it's healthy for all of us. That one voice you hear belongs to Jesse Nelson, who is not in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios.
He is
here.
The fans.
Owen Wowen is in as our, I guess he's the cousin sub of the day for you because you're here to, I'm not sure even why you're here. But Owen
is a burger. That's why he came.
Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios. And that voice you hear critiquing my legs is the Packers Hall of Famer. He is Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How was your drive in?
Good drive. Again, it's like anything and everywhere. There is construction everywhere. There's construction. This is usually the only time I make that. What is it, 33?
33 from Beaver Dam all the way straight here.
I think one of the quarters, I haven't come up with a moniker yet. What is the West Bend, this whole West Bend, the rest of it, Newburgh? I think if you go all the way up, it's Mequon. What is that? What would we call this corridor? Because it's a corridor of the state that has a lot of people that doesn't get a lot of shine, if you will.
So it doesn't have the potato corridor. It's not the driftless region.
Nope.
You want to name the
– and it's not really – like, I don't think people would say it's Milwaukee, because Mequon, you'd get lumped in with Milwaukee, I think. That's the – you know, Milwaukee's its own
Mequon's
proper. Madison's
West
its own
Bend
proper.
Folks are not going to agree with that, though.
West Bend would consider themselves Milwaukeeans.
No.
That's what I'm at. That's what I'm saying.
Well,
that's
in the Milwaukee market. It's got to be
It is Milwaukee market, but I'm asking, what is this? Because there's a lot of population. Right? West Bend's got 32,000, 33,000
It's a beautiful
people.
Part of the state.
Very beautiful.
Holy Hill's not that far from here.
But Horicon's the other way, right?
Kettle Moraine.
Well, Kettle Moraine's beautiful. Great,
yeah, that's,
great hiking.
That's kind of what this region is, I think.
And But it's not Lake Country. Lake Country, I'm looking at, that's where all the big dogs live. The Ashton Rotmans and those folks. The Oconomowoc.
Tier 1 Tyler. Oconomowoc.
Yeah, that's Lake Country, so that's not it. What is this? What would this area be considered?
Well, we've always been big in West Bend. Maybe we'll have some fans from
West
Bend.
Let's chime in. Yeah, I'd love to get some because I'd love to, when we're going to different precincts and things like that, I love being able to label. You got Fox Valley. You got the Bluffs up in La Crosse. So, you know,
the Cooley region.
You have all these things, and I don't know. Maybe I'm missing something, but I'd like to figure out what this area would be. Because Slinger. You know, I know there's a big racetrack there. Maybe
where
that's
Eric
maybe,
Name is from.
Maybe that's part of the deal. Maybe I need to. Gabe is a Horicon guy, right?
Indeed.
All right.
Well,
yeah,
the gateway to the Kettle Moraine region.
Duck country? Could it be duck? Because I know Horicon's a big duck hunting spot. Duck country? I'm open to suggestions. Let's put it that way.
But the drive was nice through whatever that unnamed region is.
Yeah, other than the construction. Yeah, I mean, it's two-lane road.
You did not come together?
We did not. No, I thought we would be coming together today, but Tausch
needed a break.
Had other plans for us.
No, I just needed a break.
We're going to be together a lot when you're gone the next week or two. So.
Yes.
Took some time. What I actually did this morning, so I'm getting ready. We have our 10th anniversary that we're celebrating.
I've heard about that.
On the drive down here, with my free time that I had to just me in the car, I was able to listen back to some of our old interviews on the way down here. And I have more planned for the drive home. But Frank Caliendo, when he joined us in 2019, and I debuted the Jay Gruden impression for him.
I thought that was going to be one of the – I figured that was going to be what year presented by Sendix.
I won't say the years then. Aaron Rodgers, the first interview ever on the show. I finally listened back to that entire conversation in 2016. Life coach Darcy, remember her from COVID in 2020? Listen to a couple of her appearances.
I need to bring her back.
Yeah, I think it might be time to have her come. But fun going down memory lane on the drive down here. So if any fans have any suggestions for what they'd love to hear in the remaining month or so that's left of our 10th anniversary celebration, I'd also be open to the suggestions if anyone has any memories to jog that I have not been able to recall. As I go back and check some of the film.
Am I wrong to critique the coffee? So they have decaf and regular, which is great. But if you have a coffee stand, you don't put the cups way down under. Right? Like there's like a little coffee stand and they got the little creamers.
Is there a barista or is it self-service?
No, it's right here. Like I walked in and I'm like, I don't have any cups left.
It's like a complimentary coffee bar.
They have the coffee cup covers. They have the straws. They don't have any cups.
But it turns out they do.
Do you ever see people put the cups way underneath and then have like the second layer be something else and then the top layer is straws and covers and creamers? The most important part to the coffee outside of the coffee is the cup. And you don't have a cup, you can't do any of the other stuff. So you got to put the cup right in front of you to see, okay, and that's your starting point. You can't do anything without a cup. So why would you put the cup way underneath? Why wouldn't you put the cup here? And then I'd rather have the creamer underneath, and you have to go down to get the creamer, because if you don't know where the cup is, you can't pour a cup of coffee.
Can I ask you a serious question?
No, I'm being dead serious.
I understand.
I have an answer for you after Jason goes.
I'm just curious. Is this you can't control this, can you?
No, I can control
it. Can you control your desire to always improve things?
Oh, God, yeah. I do it with myself real easily. The hell are you talking about? I can control it real easily. There's plenty of things I would love to do. I'm not going to even get into that, but no.
Okay, other than yourself, do you hold back on improving?
Oh, yeah, I do. With somebody I've worked with for 10 years and 8 years, respectively, I've held back on. But that's also part of it.
Okay, I'm not – all right, let me try a third time.
To answer your question, yes.
No, you
tried to improve his ankles upon arrival.
No, I didn't. I just was observing something. I didn't say you need to do this.
I've been wearing shorts all the time, and this was the first time you've noticed that I so you are by nature someone who has always, whether it's the home run derby, which by the way, our guy Jeff Passan got last night by
good
freezing
derby
cold takes. He said it was gonna stink.
Good
and
derby.
It was definitely not that.
You well, are. I don't know what Twitter did you watch, because I only saw it on Twitter, and it seems as if there's a lot of negativity.
I saw a lot
of. What is Will Ferrell doing there?
Well, the broadcast was one thing. The Derby itself was entertaining. The broadcast.
Did they go aluminum bats, or did
they did not? No, not that you could tell. They were hitting.
Speaking of trying to improve things,
they were hitting them to the top tank.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. Right field, fourth level.
The top tank.
That's Baskersian's used that line a few times. Top tank.
So Tausch is trying to improve the coffee setup. Jesse, you had a suggestion.
When you go to the grocery store, the milk and the dairy
it's in a refrigerator.
It's always like in the back left corner, it feels like, right? When you walk in the front
door. Because they probably want it at the end so it stays as fresh as possible when you leave. That would make
you
the most sense.
Back there, and then work really your way forward, grabbing everything on the way back.
You don't start. Why would you go to the back and move forward? The psychopaths do that.
Well, that's what
the dairy
do.
No, you're last, so it stays.
The only reason you go out there and then you grab it and you go. If you're just grab a milk and something else, you're like boom, boom. It's easy to go grab.
All right. Well, I'm not talking about having an entire cart full for the entire family. I'm saying like you're running in, you're grabbing five things.
Sure.
For, you know, a little gathering you're having. Okay. Milk's on the list. You run back, you grab the milk first, then on the way back, all right, I'm going to grab the sugar and the tea and the
celery. What are you, in the 1960s making cookies with Mrs. Beaver?
I'm sorry. Do people have people not made cookies since the 60s?
Well, I don't know. If you're part of these youth programs, you're buying more cookie dough and you can shake a stick.
You go to
get
the milk
cookies,
first, and then you work your way back.
Okay.
That's the similarity to grabbing the cup from the bottom. It's the most work first.
Just admit
and then
that
everything else is closer to the station
that you
you're working
put
in.
The coffee cup up top. Just admit that. I'm not mad at anybody. They did come out and make me feel like, well, boy, you know, that. Oh, what are you?
Well,
there's
you
plenty of cups, and I told them.
You did tell
I
their establishment
them,
they didn't have cups, and they very clearly had cups.
They came out, and then they very nicely said, there's like 1,000 cups sitting right here. And I said, oh it's great. They're buried basically. It's like you got to go up to the attic to get it, but whatever. I'm fine with that. There were cups. I got my cup of coffee. I just thought we could probably do this in a better way. That's all.
The Northern Kettle. I'm
Is that
seeing
what it's
several people chiming in on the Carbliss ESPN Wisconsin talking text line. John, Jackrabbit Mama has weighed in. The Northern Kettle.
Is she part of the Northern Kettle Alliance?
I don't know where Jackrabbit Mama lives.
Alliance, like it's some sort of axis of evil.
The Northern Kettle is our West Bend general region that we're in here in Softville.
I'm glad that I brought up Kettle Moraine then. That got us rolling. All right, we need to get ready for Evan Cohen at 9:30.
Can we do a telestration? Because I just got a great piece of advice from Matt LaPay about maybe going over and explaining, and then you could do the, well, this guy, you got to get the cup. We could do our John Maddens while we're getting, since you're talking about Frank Caliendo.
I still have not taught anyone else how to do the telestrator yet, just so we're on.
You like having that little chest.
I've been back in the office one day, Tausch. I've not trained Owen on the telestration yet. He can try and figure it out, but.
Sure.
I'm not sure that's the ideal situation today.
Gotcha. Okay.
What is ideal is that if you have considered replacing your windows, now's the time to do it, and it's time to do it with Pella Windows and Doors.
And don't do it with haggling. Shopping for new windows and doors, you don't need to be battling. You don't need to be saying, well, you should put this here. No. Get your plan together. Go to Pella Windows and Doors. They're going to stick to straightforward pricing, honest conversations, and helping homeowners find the right fit for their home, and they're not going to use high-pressure sales tactics when you buy direct through Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. The same team that manufactures your windows and doors, they also sell them, install them, and service them. Real pricing, premium quality, without the game. Schedule your free in-home consultation today at PellaWI.com.
Jesse, already we are 13 minutes into the program, and the YouTube comments have swung harshly against you.
Of course,
with
they
your
have.
Milk game plan. Yeah, I think rightfully.
What was
so.
Your? Oh, you, the going to get milk and then
go to
go
get
shop.
The milk first.
Literally,
go to the
no
back.
One
Why don't
goes
I go,
to the back.
Who's
going to
go buy
milk
ice cream
if you're
first
going
and then
in,
get there for 35 minutes and your ice cream? Next thing you know, it's a
no.
It's
if you're going
milk.
In and you're getting five things in and out at the store, boom, boom. You run into Sendix, boom, grabbing milk, grabbing a couple of things.
You got to get them
the
blueberries. Blueberries
and
are crushing.
So I run and get the milk first. And then I work my way back toward the front so I'm not going back like Berman and then coming all the way back to the
not
front
bad.
After you get everything.
Not
Thank
bad.
You.
Not bad.
Appropriate.
No, it's still you're still not starting with your cold stuff. You just it's just
I was also told Big O. You guys remember Big O from graduation.
Missing graduation.
The eighth grade graduation.
It was Mrs. Big O's. I'm not going to say what number birthday, but a significant birthday around our age group.
Happy 50th, Mrs. Big O.
The big 5-0?
And I think, yes, that, I don't know if that was what he did for her party. But have you heard of this? You go and get peaches out of big trucks. Have you heard of this? You're like boxed peaches and you go grab them. They're like they're seasonal. You know, like the Seinfeld episode, and I know Sendix is doing that also. They have that with, you know, along with the blueberries. And is Michigan known for blueberries? Because I think Wisconsin makes a pretty good blueberry.
I think what I saw in the news last night, we should steer clear of general produce from Michigan for the next week or so.
Okay, I'll have to take a look.
Some stuff going
morning,
on there.
Good Morning America.
Smaller story. You might want to follow it. All right, we
get to that in segment number two. Am I right?
Oh, clever. I'm going to go get myself a cup of coffee if I can find the cups. We will get ready for Evan Cohen, and we'll talk a little more about the Home Run Derby and the continued reaction to some of the rankings that are out, although not so far a lot of controversy with the 20-ish most important Packers, I've noticed. Also, not a lot of conversation about it.
Is milk in the back? So that Jeff texted, and Jeff and DeForest, milk's in the back because it's the most commonly bought item and grocery stores want you to walk past everything else.
Well, no, blank, blank. Yeah.
Is that for real?
Yeah.
I'm not going to say no blank blank. I didn't realize that either. That's a really
smart strategy. I didn't realize someone had to explain that.
Is milk the most commonly bought thing in a grocery store?
Got to be at the top of the list. What else would you put in it?
Lettuce.
Blueberries.
That doesn't sound like it.
More Wilde and Tausch live from the bog for the ESPN Milwaukee Dells are open. Stick around.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
On from the bog in Sockville for the Delzer ESPN Milwaukee Open.
Did it sound like I'm hosting tea parties? Matt Coonan texted that in.
What do you mean?
When I run to the grocery store and I'm getting milk and tea
Trumpets.
And sugar.
Yeah, a little bit.
I can see you being British.
Is Jesse hosting tea parties? Oh, I just lost the text. That's unfortunate. Sometimes I do, yeah. Love a good tea.
I'm not sure. What I am sure of is that I wish I had gone to the coffee cart, I guess that is, before you had said where the cups were. Because when I walked up, I have to be honest, it did not, and maybe it was because I had already been told they were at the bottom, but the structure did not seem overly confusing to me.
Yeah.
So the greater issue is
well, you're more of an intellect.
That's not what I was.
No,
saying.
No, it's kind of what you're saying. It's all right.
It's not. It is definitely a different setup than you were expecting, and that's what matters most. I if you want to call me an intellectual, that's fine, but I'm going to have to admit that I got the Steinhoffel's sleeper of the last 10 years wrong. When Jesse sent it to me.
Wow, we stumped him.
So
I don't even know which one it is yet. Let's read this out, and I'm going to guess.
Let's
see if I'm right.
Let's set the well, you.
What's the difference?
You're not supposed to guess on the air because we can't give any fans listening a competitive advantage before
Fair.
The contest closes at noon when
I
we
probably,
unveil it.
If Jason didn't know who it was, I probably
won't. No, either. You probably will. I think
I'm seeing a lot of correct guesses coming in. I think Jason overthought it.
Time now. Well, I was, yeah. Time now for our Steinhoffel sleepers. Of the last 10 years.
All right, sleepyheads, wakey, wakey.
We'll have less sleep, we'll be grumpy.
Rise and shine. It's this week's Steinhoffel's Sleeper of the Last 10 Years.
All right, Jesse, this is your time to shine. I got to tell you, you did a really good job with this one, and not just because it stumped me.
We're having some fun with the last couple. I think we've found our rhythm with these Steinhoffel sleepers of the last 10 years.
Ever since Ty Summers / Tyler Lancaster.
Yeah.
We're really crushing it.
We have bounced back well after that debacle. This week's clue for our Steinhoffel sleeper of the last 10 years, your chance to win a $500 gift card to Steinhoffel's if you text the correct guess to 844-770-3776 by 12 p.m. Central Time today. This current player...
Current player?
...was born on September 2nd, 2000. The day his alma mater, Oregon State University, won the first of 11 games en route to what many consider the greatest football season in Beavers program history. All about the Oregon State Beavers in today's Steinhoffel Sleeper of the Last 10 Years.
Clue. I'll say this. It's getting tougher and tougher to do this based on college, which players played at which school. So, yeah, I don't know this one. I'll have to think through it.
Thank you.
I did not provide any there's no clue as to the position.
There's very little about the actual person.
Yeah,
I was hoping
yeah.
that you were going to say they host a podcast. Or
that was last week. Yeah. Equanimeous St. Brown. Congratulations, by the way, to Alan and Hudson, our winner from last
Hudson.
Week. All the way up in Hudson. He's
that's
got a $500 gift card coming
his way. That's a Minneapolis growth corridor is
yeah.
how I guess you'd look at that.
Minneapolis growth corridor.
People that are foolish enough to live that have to work in Minnesota but are smart enough to say, let's us come on over to Ascani.
So, again, text your answer to 844-
St. Croix County, I believe.
770-3776 by 12 p.m. Central Time today.
By the way, speaking of corridors and areas and the regions, I did see last night that the good people of the National Weather Service in Green Bay talking about the heat wave that we are under called Crivets North.
Yeah, some people do. Jesse does. I don't.
Everybody but you does.
Does.
That's how we know we've got him, when he has no other resort except he's just going to mimic how we're saying the last word
say
we
that.
Say.
Yeah,
that's when we know we've got him.
Who's we?
Us.
The dream team. The two brothers. Yeah, that's
we are wearing the same shirt.
Yeah, Crivets can be considered up north. That's fine.
I sent you the billboard. Up north, Crivets.
I understand. And
all
America 250.
Point. To it being up north.
Yes, very clearly. And a top five up north city at that.
All right, so again, text in your guess for the Steinhoffel Sleeper of the Last 10 Years presented by Steinhoffels to 844-770-3776. We then take all the correct answers and select one correct answer at random to win a $500 gift card from Steinhoffels. And we are so thankful to Steinhoffels for being so supportive of our 10th anniversary celebration. Thanks to Danny and to Chad and the whole team over there. They've been good to us from the beginning. And if you're looking for a better sleep, now is the perfect time to shop Steinhoffel's, because for a limited time, get a free foundation with any qualifying Beautyrest mattress purchase. Queen Beautyrest mattresses start at just $1,499, or you can upgrade to the luxurious Beautyrest Black King Adjustable, and you can get the base set and enjoy $500 in instant savings. Plus, with 60-month financing, it's easier than ever to bring home your comfort you deserve. Visit your nearest Steinhoffel showroom or shop online at steinhoffels.com. Relax, it's Steinhoffels. Evan Cohen, scheduled to appear next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Evan Cohen on Wildy and Tausch is brought to you by Horicon Bank, serving their clients with faster decisions, smarter financing, and bankers who get your business. Horicon Bank, doing good for 130 years.
Joining us now. Did that go out over the air? You lost your wall?
Oh, there it is.
Right there.
Yeah. Fell out.
Good luck. Joining us now on the Yuengling guest hotline, Yuengling, the oldest brewery in America, 197 years old and now in Wisconsin. DG Yuengling and Son, Pottsville, PA. Enjoy responsibly. It is Evan Cohen of Unsportsmanlike. Evan, good morning. How are you?
Jason, Mark, Jesse, how are you guys?
We are great. I am curious. We are at the Delzer ESPN Milwaukee Open. What, if anything, is your golf game? Good, bad, indifferent, never play? What's your position on golf?
I'm really good at meeting those who are playing for lunch. I'm particularly, like if I were you guys, right? So you
just
guys
another
are
another commonality with you and Jason Wilde.
It's incredible how similar
you know,
they are.
I played, and I would go to the driving range, and I actually, I can hit the ball far when I hit it. I don't hit it well all the time. But I think, see, this is the great part. Your time slot is perfect for this. So here's the move. You're done at noon. You go and grab lunch with everybody for like an hour or two. You hang out. You then go and get a golf cart. You drive around the course to say hello to everybody. And then at like, I don't know, 4, 5, and 6 or whatever it is that people are done with the day, you're hanging out at the, you know, where they're going to eat and have a couple of drinks or whatever it is afterwards, and then you get that part of it. So you're moving the whole day after the show. You're bouncing around, but you're not actually playing golf. That's the move for you guys today, which I'm sure you'll do, and it's a great scenario that way. That's my golf
great
move.
Great scenario.
Well, we've done that in past years, and Tausch is quite the aggressive driver of the cart. From my recollection,
that's not shocking.
That's what we would do after every show ended, and I am a more cautious driver of carts.
Well, we'll take two different carts. That's all right.
Yeah, I know that comes as a surprise.
Well, I got a ride from Tausch a few months ago in a regular car, and I felt safe. I will say I felt safe. So I don't know. I don't know. Would I not
picked you up at the time I was supposed to pick you up, and you're 15 minutes late. The opposite. He was the oppo.
That is. Oh, my God.
That's true.
That is so wrong.
Evan, that's a true story, and you know it is.
That's not.
Evan, I have to say, I listened to a lot of your show today on my drive down to the Delzer ESPN Milwaukee Open, and your stuff with Tannenbaum. I've said in the past, I've had a dinner. My favorite dinner. That I've had with like non-family and all that other stuff is Tom Rinaldi. Yeah. Tom Rinaldi,
really?
he did what Tannenbaum is talking about. It wasn't sitting there and saying, you know, listening to Jesse tell us about how great his board game playing is up north and all this other stuff. It got into if we're going to sit down and break bread, let's have a conversation. And Tannenbaum brought you guys, put you right on the hot seat. What do you think now, because you are a student, you're out to dinner with three friends, acquaintances in the industry. What is your go-to question now at dinner after your deal with Tannenbaum?
So it's such a good one, observation by you. So let's just backtrack for a second. For those who may not have heard this morning, well, shame on you, but you should have. So let's call that person, I don't know, Jason, who didn't hear. At 6:30
Stephanopoulos
this morning,
did get into the Strait of Hormuz this morning, though. He did.
At 6:30 this morning on ESPN Wisconsin, Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN NFL front office insider executive, was in studio with us, and he's a former general manager of multiple teams. And we ended up talking about when you go to dinner with friends or other couples specifically, what Mike T does, and then Dan Orlovsky started texting us out of nowhere with his questions, is he comes in or stashes a list of questions that he'll just ask people, and not like, hey, Mark, I know you were at the Delzer ESPN Milwaukee Open. How was that, right? He may ask that, but it's more of, what's your biggest regret in life? What accomplishment have you not achieved yet? And it's like real deep thinking questions, and he wants quick thoughts of behind. But, you know, I started thinking, I'm like, God, have I ever done this before? Have I ever pulled the mic tee? And then I remembered there was a time I went to dinner with three people. I don't know. Let's just make up names. Matt, Mark, and Sarah. And I do believe that I peppered this guy named Mark with legit questions about his life at the dinner. So I think I've done this before. What I don't do is every time out, that wonderlic draft combine type dinner question.
Uh-huh. So what is your go-to? And we're not going to ask it per se because I think it's in person. What is your new go-to? Because Tannenbaum and Orlovsky had some good ones for you guys. Got Smallman a little bit on the defense a little bit. What is that? What's your
go-to? She's undraftable. She was not quick enough.
No, she's very slow with it, yes.
I don't know. Is it biggest
You just
regret?
Got cut, too, though. We just cut you. No,
no. But is it? But I'm just trying to think about the ones he asked that I would want to use.
No, biggest but no, that's regret? Not about Tannenbaum, though. It's about you.
Oh, my version of it.
Yeah.
How about this?
This is tailor-made. If Jason ever left his house and did dinner, this would be great because this is, like, right up your alley.
So my approach when I have, interacted with other human beings.
2019, I think, was the last.
I don't prepare lists.
No, I was trying to be nice. It's
sick term,
Evan,
bro.
Evan, it's early. It's not the 11:15 cutoff that we have, so I was trying to be nice.
I always go into this mode. I don't know if I have a list per se, but like it also, and I would ask you this since I wasn't listening at 6:30. Does Mike Tannenbaum answer these questions himself? Because one of the tools that I enjoyed was when you propose these questions to the people at dinner, you don't have to answer them yourself. You just continue to be the inquisitor and you don't have to really share anything about yourself in the process.
Mm.
Right, so when you're doing that back in 1987, the last time you went out to dinner, Jason, the reality is, more likely than not, you're the only question asker by trade in that group.
Mm-hmm.
I've been out to hanging out with Mike T. He's been to my house multiple times with him in public in these kinds of settings. And so, yes, I ask them back. Now, Mike T. also is interesting in that for anybody who's unfamiliar with the concept of hibachi,
I'm not unfamiliar. I'm familiar with it.
No, not only you. I mean, in general. Like, the chef, while cooking in front of you, is
not. I don't know why I would have thought that was directed at me.
No, it really, I swear to God, Jason, it really wasn't. Because I assume you probably would have gone with your daughters because it's a fun family activity, et cetera. So, the chef is required to do two things. Cook a great meal and entertain the guests. Right, it's more of like an entertaining chef than just a chef. So,
Evan, do you think? But
dinner.
I'm going to interrupt quickly.
Okay.
Do you wish that it was kind of like Uber, where you could hit the silence button? And I don't know, like if you're not with your kids and they're firing shrimp heads
That's
in your head. I just want the meal. Like I love a good hibachi, but I don't need
you to
throw water. What do you mean? No, it's still good.
That's what you're signing up for at hibachi. Yeah,
you're there for the show and the food.
Okay, so but what's the difference if you're in an Uber then? You're signing up for a ride to get from point A to point B. I'm not interested in old boy's politics or what music he likes. It's the same thing.
Josh,
I'm signing up for a meal.
Here's what's interesting.
Yeah.
Here's what's interesting. Wow. So the hibachi chef at my house last year, Tannenbaum is there, and he's doing all these questions with everybody, and when the chef is trying to go to work, he's still doing the questions. And,
we have dueling things
going on. No, Jason, you'll get a kick out of this. Picture this. We got Tannenbaum doing the Wonderlic test with us while the chef is trying to flip the shrimp into, like, Canty's face. So I literally had to say to him, I go, Mike, you got to stop. We hired this guy for this. You can't keep going with this, Mike. Just put it on pause for a second.
Or you could have the chef doing the Wonderlic stuff. Like, you should be asking the chef while he's doing it.
Yeah, we should get to know the chef.
What are you talking about? You can't. Tannenbaum wants to do this.
I guarantee you,
it's a big hit.
Yeah.
Does a hibachi chef who comes to your house come with his – do you have to have the
– I've never done it at my
to
house.
Cook it? Or does he bring it with
that's
him?
That's a great Evan.
No,
Evan
that's the whole course. That's the whole business. Is they bring everything to you. They bring their you just got. They have like the portable grill thing. Mm. Yeah.
So you just got to clear some
hibachi.
Space.
Yeah. Pop up
for him to go to work. Okay.
Yeah. Correct.
Speaking of things that I assume you talked about on your show today that I didn't catch, what did you think of the home run derby last night? Because our friend Jeff Passan went in with a very bad attitude, saying it was going to stink. And it apparently did not stink, although maybe the broadcast of it was not ideal.
Well, I have a problem with people saying the broadcast stunk because Netflix is not paying for the Home Run Derby to broadcast a Home Run Derby. They're paying for the Home Run Derby to get the eyes and ears on their potential future, current,
and past hogwash. Content. You're going to do this, you put on a good product. You could say that about every other station. Fox, everybody else. They're not doing that.
Totally
they're doing
different.
It to get people to watch. Yeah, they're getting it to watch because they're professional and they do a good job. No,
all
come
right,
on.
Great.
Don't
so,
sell Netflix I'm short. Just, they need to produce. You know that.
Continue. I am not a huge home run derby guy. The peak, I feel like, was Josh Hamilton at Yankee Stadium.
Ah, McGuire.
I have a hard time getting into this.
McGuire.
But
you said
I
peak.
Have a hard time getting into this. Well, okay, the most recent version of it when Jason was out to dinner that night, actually, in 2003 or whatever, four or whatever.
1998, I think maybe that was.
You know, remember when Maris hit 61? Jason was out to dinner that night in 1961. So I don't know. I don't know what. Like, and you know what? I'm also down on with baseball right now.
Yeah, what?
We actually have this amazing
the Mets
run.
Stink?
Of big name,
the Mets stink. That's what you're down about.
Yeah, but big name pitchers: Miz, Skeens, Scooble, Otani. And we have Christopher Sanchez against Dylan Cease tonight. That's what's getting me going. Come on. I'm more into soccer today.
We don't like Sanchez around here. We don't like Sanchez.
Why don't we like him?
Because he and Miz have this kind of thing. There's this little feud going on, going back to last year between the fan bases, where Sanchez got snubbed from the All-Star game as a rookie last year. Miz got in after five starts. They were all upset about it. Sanchez was named Pitcher of the Month when Miz had his incredible stretch in May.
He did have an incredible month.
They're both very good, and so there's kind of this
They're missing the boat on this. Nobody wants to use these young arms. Miz, the Brewers don't want Miz thrown. We're already putting him down for a couple weeks to get him This is the perfect time to find the Verlanders and these old farts that are on their last legs. Let them pitch a couple innings in these games. Let's go back. Let's throw it. If Roger Clemens wants to come out of retirement and throw an inning, I'm in. Doc Gooden, you want to throw an inning and you're up for it? I'm in. That's what this should be. We want to see hitting. Nobody wants to use their
Bob
arms.
Bob Gibson versus the Miz.
Let's be honest. They don't have a pitching contest. They have a home run derby. You're not. This is an exhibition. Let's stop with the giving it to the the home team in a World Series. It's an exhibition. These old guys bring. If there's guys that want to throw, let them come in. And I want to see.
I agree.
I want to see Doc Gooden try to strike out Otani. That's entertaining to me. Continue.
So I think it was yesterday on our show. Jesse Rogers, ESPN baseball reporter, was on. And we had that conversation. I said, you know what, I would love to see, and I know that he's banged up, one of these guys, but I'm like, why don't we just have Verlander and Scherzer start?
Great
They're both
idea.
Active. Yeah, I mean, you're having Doc Gooden, and I love Doc Gooden as a Mets fan, but Doc unfortunately missed the parade. Well, he missed the Mets parade in 86. You know why? Out to dinner with Jason Wilde. Last time that he went to dinner was 1986.
Now, that I don't believe is accurate. I believe he might have been up to something else.
Oh, that one is not. But not the one in 1961 before you were born. That one is accurate somehow.
Well, I don't know what Maris was doing. All right. Evan, the other thing that I was very intrigued by, we were going to
Teddy Higuera, which brewer would we want to bring in? Like, what old brewer?
I mean, CeCe Sabathia is there. He was doing commentary on Netflix.
And now his son was a Brewers draft
pick.
Yeah,
put CeCe out there.
I think I want Teddy Higuera coming out and throwing. That's what I'd like.
Pete Vukovic.
Capuano? Chris Capuano?
You're just picking fun names.
You're just throwing out names
maybe.
Now. Evan.
Oh, by the way, Tosh, did you hear that this morning? We did a little bit where Cam, one of our producers, gave us names of players in the NFL that he thinks should play other positions based on their name.
I did see that.
That's good.
Oh, I was so into that. Because yesterday we randomly stumbled on Dallas Turner, the Vikings, the outside linebacker, edge rusher, and Jovante, one of our producers, said, I thought he was a tight end solely based on the name Dallas Turner fitting the tight end position, which I love.
Yeah. Like Yurkovic would definitely be a D-tackle still.
Okay, what if we didn't know Tausch, and we're like, oh, there's an NFL player by the name of Mark Tauscher. What position would he be? Just based on name, not knowing Tausch.
Linebacker.
Like
I think like an inside, like an old-school inside linebacker. I think would be that.
A lot of tackles, not a lot of big plays.
Maybe.
Punter, he says.
Why?
I don't know. Mark feels like a punter's name. I don't know why.
Okay.
Although maybe wide receiver. maybe wide receiver because of, you know, Clayton and Duper.
Mark Duper, Mark
of,
Clayton. Mark, yeah, yeah. A Mark
like a
wide.
Slot receiver, yeah.
Why slot?
I don't know. It just feels
shifty.
Like,
yeah,
oh,
why yeah. are you thinking that?
Coach's
Jesse?
Kid.
Why,
Mark Tauscher.
Coach's kid, yeah. Yep.
I actually think it sounds
first
like an offensive lineman name. I think Mark Tauscher.
You know him.
Yes. Well, no, I'm saying even if I didn't know him, I think Mark Tauscher sounds like he's playing on the offensive line for, I don't know, some
to
team.
The Green Bay Packers.
Jacob, like, right, a Midwest
that?
Team.
Jacob Mizorowski, what position would he play in if he was an NFL player?
That sounds like a punter or a long snapper.
That No, that's a kicker. That's a place kicker.
Okay. Yes, like Stephen Gostkowski.
Sebastian.
I think it's all.
Yeah. Couldn't you see like a big headline if he misses a kick? Miserable. Like I could. See,
oh yeah.
See that.
Can't play in New York.
Missed it so, wide right.
No, you'd be good at that.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Why don't you start writing, Jason? Can you let him write?
We
your
said
headlines?
We were going to do this. A few
I don't know why you don't
back.
Let Jesse write your headlines.
Yeah.
He's got a lot on his plate. He's very.
I thought you were outsourcing your headlines at Channel 3000 to Tausch and I, and we were going to write those for you.
Well, don't you have a guy named Claude writing your stories now or no?
Oh, burn.
Oh,
that's a low blow.
That's an AI.
I know you
joke.
Don't do AI, that? But that's AI.
It was a I joke. Don't. Jeez. Jason's above AI. He's above it.
Should just shut him down for the rest of the show.
No, what is with you guys?
What do you mean? Well, you got your gay. This is Jason right now. He's got a couple of weeks off coming. He deserves it, but he is like the players when the season's wrapping up and they got their cars packed and that exit interview's coming and they are first
that's
thing screaming at the airport.
Cancun
oh,
on
you,
three.
Jason, yeah. You are packed and plumbed and ready to go.
No, it's more like you have taught us that you get to the 4th of July and even though training camp is opening later this year, you start feeling it's time. It is time for football. And you were always that way as a player and I've been that way covering the team every year. Like I can feel it coming.
And I can feel it coming in the air.
Coming in the air tonight.
Evan, how much time have you spent on the Jeremy Fowler rankings?
Great list. I think Fowler did some good work on that.
And the quarterback one, because I saw Mina Kimes push back rather hard on where Jordan Love landed.
Yeah, it's been a ton over the last 2 days. I love it. I think it's so fun. I also think it has proven that no one knows how anyone else views, ranks, and consumes the quarterback play because I don't know what we're actually, in theory, voting on. Like, I don't understand what metric would have Jalen Hurts 17th overall in the NFL. Makes no sense to me. I do not
yeah,
believe
hey,
Jordan
Evan.
Love –
Evan, yep. You're a huge Jalen Hurts fan. You have been his day one.
Yeah.
And my question to you is, if Philadelphia had to give him the big boy contract this week or before this season, Jalen Hurts comes and said, you know what, man, I'm way underpaid.
He's already gotten one big contract.
I'm way underpaid.
No,
I need to be paid. Hold up a second. Can I finish?
They would say no. They would say no. They would say no.
Well, why would you? So then what are you surprised about? What are you surprised about?
I believe I'm higher on him than they are, and they have a huge reason why.
How many teams
two organizations.
Okay.
Two
how many teams would pay him $62 million a year right now?
I think there are many. But teams in this sport, as we have discussed over the last 20 or so years, have every right to believe that we can change coaches and change quarterbacks and get the same end result of a championship.
And Philadelphia and New England.
No, not New England. What do you mean? New England had
– It's all about
they had
the
Mac Jones. No, it's Seattle and Philadelphia. Those are the ones that could change out coaches and change out quarterbacks and believe that they could get to the Super Bowl. So definitively, you were right.
It's a little pommy. Yeah,
prisoner of the moment.
You can steal pommy and use that later if you want.
Okay, no well, Philadelphia, let's go back. Since they went to the Super Bowl with McNabb and Reed, went there with Peterson and Foles/Wentz, and went there, and then went there twice with Sirianni and Hurts. Okay, Seattle last 20 or so years went there with Holmgren and Hasselbeck, as who was great with you guys this week. Went there great. With Carroll and Wilson twice,
and Flynn,
and then just went there
Flynn.
With Oh yeah. And then went there with McDonald's and Darnold. There's no other teams but those two that have that example. So when you're asking about Philadelphia, you are right. They would not overpay as you would look at it. Now, in the case of Jordan Love, tell me let's just say it this way. We're going to judge the top 10 quarterbacks. We're going to vote on them through any prism you want to vote on them with. What is the lens, prism, whatever you want to say, that gets Jordan Love in the top 10? Because it's not winning. It's not accolades. What is it that makes Jordan Love a top 10 quarterback? Tell me how to look at that.
Advanced analytics.
That's
what I get from Josh DiMaggio. That's what I get from Mina Kimes. My argument, trying to use the Tausch analogy technique, is that the top five are the top five, and then from six on down all the way to where they had Hurts, it's all about what type of ice cream flavor you like. And some people like chocolate chip, some people like cookie dough, some people like Blue Moon, and however you feel about different quarterbacks, you can find arguments to put them into 6 to 10.
Okay, so then the way in which you guys would look at it to get Jordan Love in there is based on advanced analytics, because other guys would be out and he would be in. Okay, so
Evan, correct me if I'm wrong. If Caleb Williams doesn't lead that comeback and Jordan Love wins that playoff game against the Bears 31-17, which is what should have happened, didn't, Jordan Love is in the top 10, Caleb Williams isn't. Caleb Williams' two playoff games are why he's in the top 10, period, fin. There's no – you can argue with me all you want, analytics this, analytics that. None of it's going to matter, and you know that.
Well, but Tausch, I have a question on that. If two playoff games, big playoff games, cause him to be in the top 10, why would Jalen Hurts not be in the top 10, who's won more playoff games than most of those guys?
Including a Super Bowl.
It's a great question, but because you look at Jalen Hurts last year, I think people viewed they did that not when they won the championship. They've been overcoming some things that Jalen Hurts hasn't been able to do. That's what I think.
Yeah, and I obviously don't agree with that, but I understand
that.
I think Jalen Hurts has as great of a chance at the MVP award this year based on three things: individual play, team success, and narrative. Because I think the narrative of him winning games without A.J. Brown will be huge.
Yeah. I just don't see, unless he starts going back to running the football, doing more play action, RPO, like if they're going to still want him to be, and I don't know, I know they have a new coordinator, a guy came from Green Bay, I understand all that, but if they don't go back to that, it's not going to happen. It's just not. And if it does,
yeah, and I hope they do. Tausch, you know, I hate when offenses are run primarily at a shotgun. I think it's awful. I hate that. So I hope they stop that in Philadelphia, and I hope Sean Mannion brings more under center to them. But let's do it this way. Tell me what this year Jordan Love has to do to guarantee himself low end. Guarantee himself top 10 next year. What does he have to accomplish?
Win the division in a playoff game, he's probably hovering right with the top five or six guys in the league. That's where he'd be. He would be no lower than seven or eight next year. That's if he gets that
division.
Team success.
I don't really – his thing is team success. His stats have gotten better year in and year out. He didn't have as many – I know Jason's all in on touchdown passes. I don't mind when I hand the football off and run and have Josh Jacobs run touchdowns. Where is that
stats? I don't have a problem. I'm saying that's how he's perceived, though, because of those numbers. He threw 32 touchdown passes his first year as a starter, threw for over 4,000 yards. The last 2 years, he's in 3,300 yards.
Can't be the 7 seed and can't not, and you have to win a playoff game. That's where Jordan Love's at.
I agree.
Elevating your teammates and having wins in the playoffs. That's all. That's what's left on Jordan Love's resume, period, fin. Everything else has gotten better and better throughout in my opinion.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's absolutely fair. And do you guys think he's going to do that this year?
I do. I think Jason does. Jesse is a little more.
I think
stressful.
He wins a playoff game, but I don't think they win the division. I think the Lions do.
Hmm. Well, there you go.
Evan, how come nationally I think the Lions win the NFC North. I think the Packers have a better chance to win the Super Bowl than they do to win the NFC North this year.
Okay.
That's interesting.
It's July. No, it's July. That's one of those.
I said that in May when we were at the Hard Rock.
Well, and I said it was May.
Jason, or who are you? Evan. I have a question for you before you go.
Roger Maris.
How come nationally everyone thinks Justin Herbert's so much better than Jordan Love? Jordan Love's won a playoff game. Justin Herbert hasn't. Justin Herbert's like had royally bad playoff performances. His teams have never won a division. They haven't been that good. Like, why does everybody love Justin Herbert so much?
What's the deal with Justin Herbert is basically what you're asking.
You know what? You know what's interesting about what you just said, Jesse? Your bar as a comp for Jordan Love or Justin Herbert is Jordan Love winning a singular playoff game. He's the starting quarterback for the Green Bay Packers. That's not enough. So while you're right, the Justin Herbert love is too much, and I've been part of it, no more. Drake May, who I'm not saying is top five, by any stretch of imagination, but Drake May last year accomplished more in 1 year than Jordan Love and Justin Herbert have combined in their career.
Yeah.
And it's ranked below Justin Herbert.
You're right.
I mean, Jordan Love hasn't come close to number two in MVP. Jordan Love has not been to the Super Bowl. Obviously, Herbert hasn't even won a playoff game.
Evan,
crazy.
Let me ask you this, because we
Jordan
both
Love.
Agreed.
They won a singular playoff game.
Let me ask you this as we let you go to ESPN LA. Is that an organizational thing, or is that a player thing, in your opinion? Because Drake May was for – when you're comparing Jordan Love and Drake May.
Oh, well, for me, it's –
because Drake May, when he had old boy coaching and not Vrabel, he looked the part. But
I love Vrabel as a head coach. That's not where I would go with that. Where
Josh
I would
McDaniels.
Go is –
well, that's part of the
Josh
deal.
McDaniels.
He hired him. Yeah, but he hired
him. Oh, God, yeah. Josh McDaniels would run circles around Matt LaFleur as an offensive coach. It's not even – I'm not talking about as a head coach. You asked specifically about coaching the quarterback, right?
No, I asked – no. I said organizationally. I want you lumping everything in because
okay,
I think
well, organizationally,
I showed my bias just to give you a heads up. I showed my bias yesterday. Not Drake May. And then Jason read off his stats, goes to the Super Bowl. I pulled back, said, I'm wrong. Drake May deserves to be ahead of Jordan Love and Justin Herbert and everybody else.
Yeah.
Is it organizational or is it talent?
Yeah, organizational. Because I think that Jordan Love's career would be better in New England, and I think Justin Herbert's career would be better in New England. I don't think there's any question.
Hmm. And what would Aaron Rodgers
then what happened with Mac Jones then? Because that's organizational. He's definitely would say, no, my career much better with Kyle Shanahan and Jed York.
So
and...
It's so great you said that.
Thanks.
It's the same guy. Josh McDaniels left. It's all him.
Yeah.
He's the best offensive coach of our lifetime.
But he's the worst head coach.
He's among the worst.
But it's in the
discussion. No, but
if he's that great, he would have done it somewhere. He had opportunity.
No. Jason, help me on this, Jason.
The worm has certainly turned on this segment, hasn't it?
Jason, you and I went to dinner in 1974, and
we were talking about a young Jesse.
Could you imagine when you sat with Belichick and you would have had those questions? That's another story. Go ahead.
Mike Webster from Wisconsin, drafted by the Steelers in 1974. No big deal with that knowledge. You may continue.
Nicely done. Yes. I am team Evan on this.
Mike Webster would have been a center too. That would have been his name. His center. Go ahead.
Well, he was a center.
I know.
I am 100% on board with you on Josh McDaniels. I always wonder, because of how Aaron Rodgers tended to be, because at one point there was discussion about him being the head coach of the Green Bay Packers, and I don't think Aaron Rodgers was on board with that, even though everything he touched as an offensive coordinator turned to gold. And it wasn't just Brady doing it all. No, I agree with you.
I don't know. I think Tom Brady won a couple other championships without Josh McDaniels.
It's not about how they play. You asked about the coaching. By the way, Jason, before I go, very quickly.
I said organization.
Adam Thielen was on with us today. Last 5 minutes, questions and answers about Rodgers. You'll be fascinated by it. Go back on the podcast, second to last segment of the show.
Can you send that over to Stephanopoulos? Can we get that on GMA tomorrow?
I would not tell you to do this, but I think you're going to be interested.
I will listen. I will definitely listen. Count me in. Evan, we appreciate you. Thanks. Say hi to the LA crew.
All right, enjoy the ESPN Milwaukee Open. Enjoy the day.
That is Evan Cohen of Unsportsmanlike. It sounds like we're getting ready to tee off here at the ESPN Milwaukee Delzer Open at the Bog in Saukville. Before that happens, we will recap some of our conversation with Evan Cohen. We'll do that next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Wildy and Tausch on 100.5 ESPN is brought to you by Everlight Solar. Save money, save the planet. Everlight Solar.
Wildy and Tausch rolls on live from the Delzer ESPN Milwaukee Open at the Bog in Saukville. The golfers are now officially on the course. Carts aplenty as they head to their assigned holes. You are not playing in any capacity today? Or?
No, I'm not playing.
Are you? Some years you like drive for people.
Like the carts?
No, like the ball. Like long hitter off the tee. Kind
yeah,
of.
I don't hit it as long as I used to. I've had some biceps issues. I probably need to go down to Ortho Laser and get that looked at, too. My knee's feeling so much better, I'll probably get that checked.
I could just do both all at the same time.
Maybe.
We will be keeping an eye on everyone coming through here because we've certainly got some of our great teammates who will make their appearances as well. Tausch, the conversation that we had with Evan was kind of all over the map, as it often is.
It's not shocking.
I didn't realize that feelings were so strong, though, one way or the other, about Jalen Hurts. Like, we spent a good amount of time yesterday on him.
I don't know if feelings are that strong. You think they're that strong?
Well, his feelings seem to be. Right? I mean,
well, he is all in, and this is what happens in sports talk and other stuff. You will really hunker down. When you are all in on somebody, you're going to be all in on them until you can't be. He has been all in on Jalen Hurts for a while. He also, and to his credit, will look at it and say that he understands that the Eagles – I don't know how many times I've told you this. What are you kicking me for?
No,
I don't know how many
fly.
Times I've told you this, but this is the reality of the NFL. People will say everything and anything. The proof comes when you got to pay people. That's the proof is in the pudding. And the pudding is your dollars. And if they could tell you, oh, we love you. We want you. And when Jalen Hurts says, that's great, man, because I need a new deal. You know, $62 million is going right. Eh, we don't like it that much. That's what the Philadelphia Eagles would do. And Jalen Hurts has won him a championship. He has been the best quarterback in Super Bowls played against Patrick Mahomes. Period thin. One, lost one. Or maybe he beat the San Francisco 49ers.
Nope, he beat Mahomes.
Yeah, he beat the Niners in the NFC Championship game. So that says all you need. And it's all about. But even with all of that, that's where the organizational side of it comes in. That's why I thought what Evan was saying was interesting about, you know, these teams that look at the quarterback spot differently. And for the first time, I've been doing this show 10 years. I have always raved about the value of the franchise quarterback and everything besides the great play that it brings on the field. I told you yesterday all about the belief that it gives 52 other dudes in a locker room and the coaches. The Seahawks and Philadelphia have at least made you think, the Russell Wilson part of it has at least made you think maybe there's a better way. And the NBA is starting to kind of go down that road with New York. Now, Brunson's a star, but nobody is going to put him top five NBA player in the league. And it has always been, well, three stars. This is what you need. Maybe with how things are going and set up salary cap-wise and apron-wise and however, maybe it is so much more important. Now, don't get me wrong. You still need to have a competent quarterback. And I have not switched yet to believing – you don't need that guy because I still believe in it. But I would be an idiot, like not being able to find coffee cups, if I don't at least entertain and look at the idea of maybe there are other ways. And the fact that everybody that doesn't like the Green Bay Packers will come to you and say, 35 years, only two championships. You've had two of the greatest players to ever play the spot. Maybe you do need to at least entertain and look at it. I don't think I'm ever going to get fully swayed, but I am not arrogant enough to sit here and say there aren't better ways of doing it than getting the guy and paying that guy top dollar the entire part of his career. The Kansas City Chiefs will find out. They'll find out. They're paying their guy top dollar every year. Mm-hmm. They saw their first blip. Mm-hmm. Is that a blip or is that going to be reality? We'll find out.
I have a question for you to kick off the 10 o'clock hour. I also have a question for you right now, and that is, who's taking care of your backyard renovation? Is it Outdoor Living Unlimited?
It is. I saw Aaron and Eric this morning. They're out playing golf, a great partner of ours as well. And, man, we met with them. They were the right team to work with our backyard. The only problem we've had, we went into the showroom on Stoughton Road. There's just too much stuff. Mm. We had our plan all figured out. We had it drawn up. Lou and the great team over there, design team, everything. And then we're sitting there saying, oh, we could have that. Oh, what is that going to do? Oh, this could be. There's so many great options, whether you're looking for the outdoor kitchen, the screen room. Outdoor Living Unlimited has everything you're looking for. Start with OutdoorLivingUnlimited.com. End with an amazing outdoor space. Check them out. OutdoorLivingUnlimited.com.
The 10 o'clock hour live from the Bog in Saukville for the Delzer ESPN Milwaukee Open kicks off in 2 minutes. So stick around. It's Wildy and Tausch.